You have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. It's so good to be with you all. This is our first time being here in Fletcher, the big metropolis of Fletcher. And we're thankful for that. And hopefully we get a new mayor, amen? And we'll see how that all goes. But it is good to get hooked up back up with Phil and his dear wife and kids. And so we're so thankful for the opportunity to be with you all. On the back table, we've got some prayer markers. That's what they are, okay? They're not prayer cards. They're short, all right? But we're entering year number 15 in January. We've been in evangelism that long now, and the Lord has really blessed. As Pastor said, I was a youth pastor for 6 years, and then the Lord called me into evangelism. I had 3 kids. I'm 29 years old. And the Lord says, hey, I'm done with you being a youth pastor. I want you to be an evangelist. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know about that. That seems like a major change. I'm 29. I got 3 kids. I own my own business. I was a lay youth pastor. And so I'm a tile setter by trade. I went to trade school, and I did all that and ran my own business. And things were going great. I really was content. I didn't want to move. Our youth group started with 8, and 6 years later, I ended with 40. And so our youth group was booming. I mean, everything was going, firing all cylinders, and God said, yeah, but here's what, I don't want you to be that anymore. And I was one of those that said, well, God, I'll give you everything but my money. I was one of those that said, I grew up as a preacher's kid. I tell people that's why I'm deranged, okay? And I grew up and I said, you know, I saw mom and dad struggle and I don't ever want to struggle. So, Lord, I'll give you everything but my money. How many of you have ever played the game, let's make a deal with God? Amen? Yeah. I was there. I did that. And finally, I said, okay, in the fall of 2003, an evangelist came and he said this, if you're ever going to be used of God, you got to step out by faith. And for me personally, that meant, Jake, you got to give God your money. Man, I tell you, I struggled with that. I struggled with it. But that night, I fully surrendered to the Lord. And a man by the name of Jerry Savinsky. How many of you know evangelist Jerry Savinsky? Anyone here? Okay, a couple of people. Jerry came to our church, and he only preaches 18 minutes. Now, folks, I'm not like that. I'm sorry. But he said, it's a power-packed 18 minutes. I'll just tell you that. And I walked down the aisle and came just to the right of the pulpit. And I tell you, I said this to God. God, if you could ever use a tile setter like me, here I am. And let me tell you, it was the beginning of seeing God work in a miraculous way. So he said, you know what? I'm on the board of Bob Jones University. But I think you ought to go to Ambassador. Well, I'm from Chicago, folks. I know you're probably thinking, what good is there in Chicago? They said that about Nazareth, too, okay? Just to let you know, all right? And the truth is, I said, man, Ambassador? He's like, it's in Lattimore. Hello? Lattimore's not even on the map. Okay, they don't even have a street light, all right, a street sign, you know, so it's just like that wasn't going to happen. He said Dr. Ron Comfort started a school back in 1989 for preachers and especially evangelists that were going into. So sure enough, I looked into it and the school, we were going that direction for youth group, and we were going to show them Pensacola, Bob Jones, and Crown, because that's the normal 3 you do when you go south. And so we decided to take off Pensacola and do Crown and BJ and Ambassador. And when I was there, they offered me a job because of my tile setting ability. And they said, hey, we'll pay for all your schooling. We'll pay for your meals. We'll pay for your kids' schooling. And we'll give you a salary. You don't have to pray too long on that, do you, folks? And so I said, okay. And so sure enough, we moved down there the fall of 2004, finished up. And then Dr. Comfort asked me to travel with him and represent Ambassador Baptist College all across this great nation for a year. And so we did that. And then we ventured into full-time evangelism in January of 08. Now, the bad news is I have more children than just 2, okay? We have 4 children. One of them has graduated college already and is at her job. She is a graphic artist, and so that's why the prayer markers look so nice, okay? It's not because of me. I can't figure that out, but she can. And then my son is a civil engineer student at Purdue by our house. And then my daughter, Maddie, she's not normally with us, but Maddie is here this morning because she is a Crown, she goes to Crown College that's there in Powell, Tennessee, and she is on fall break, and so she'll go back tomorrow. And then Lindsay, my baby girl, she is a junior in high school. And then my wife. Now, if you all look over there, all right, there's three ladies over there in that row. Yes, the one closest to the window is my wife. Everybody asks, which one of those is your wife? Well, that's the one, okay? I know they all look young and I look really old, okay? But she really is my wife. We've been married 25 years now. And we've enjoyed traveling and meeting so many folks. But on the back table, you pick one of these up. We just ask that you would pray for us. Put it in your Bible, wherever you're reading your Bible, or maybe a good book. You can put it there. And when you see the DeAndres, Worthy Ministries is the name of our ministry, I want you to pray for three things. Number one, safety. Would you pray that you, Lord, would keep us safe as we travel this great country? Number two, our schedule. I'll tell you what, with COVID and all the things that's going on, it's amazing to me how God provided in supernatural ways for the DeAndre family. And I believe this with all my heart, it's because of God's people praying for the DeAndres. I believe that with all my heart. And then number three, of course, souls. That God would allow us to continue to see souls saved as we get to travel this great country and really the world. We've had the wonderful opportunity to be in seven countries and 37 states in the 15 years. And so God's really been blessing in a major way. But we're so thankful for an opportunity to be here this morning and be with you all on this family and friend day. Hey, should be a great day. We're looking forward to it. And hopefully, we'll see someone come to Christ. Amen. That would be a wonderful way to end the day. All right, Genesis chapter 25. Have you found your spot yet? I hope so. Look what your Bible says in Genesis chapter 25. As we pick up the reading in verse number 24, the Bible says in Genesis 25, verse number 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, now we're talking about Isaac and Rachel, look what your Bible says, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hands took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. How about that? 60-year-old having twins, huh? All right. Now keep reading. The Bible says, and the boy grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Already in this family, early on in this family, we got problems, don't we, Han? Don't we? Should never be favoritism in the home, all right? And we've already got it established, and we're not even that far along in the story. Isn't that sad? Keep reading with me, though. Verse 29, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This morning, I'd like to preach a message I've entitled, Temporal or Eternal. And this morning, I'd like to show you why Esau chose the temporal rather than the eternal. But truthfully, if I be honest with ourselves this morning, if we're honest with ourselves, we find ourselves doing the very same thing. So this morning, really what I'd like to do is I'd like to help us understand why Esau chose the temporal, so that we don't keep on choosing the temporal, because the temporal will never satisfy. But before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, thank You so much for this place, and thank You for the opportunity to speak to these folks. And Lord, as I've asked You this week what You want me to speak, Lord, You've relayed messages that You desire for me to tell this group of people. Father, I don't know these folks, but You know them better than anyone. And Lord, You have given me what I believe You want me to talk to them about. Father, I pray that You would help us all. And Father, we'll thank You for it and praise You for it. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. A few months ago, I was helping an older lady with her house. She had some chores that she needed done. And so I went over to her house and we had done some work for her before, and she was telling me her story. That's, everybody's got a story, right? Everyone has a story. And this lady is Korean, and so she speaks broken English at best, but it's loud English. You know what I'm talking about, all right? And so she was speaking very loudly to me because she couldn't speak very clearly in her English language. And she told me this. She said, "You know, Jake," she said, "I got out of the hospital 2 months ago, but I almost came to the point of death." She referred to, she got COVID, and because she got COVID, she went in the hospital, she went on a ventilator, and it didn't look good. And she obviously was a Christian, and she prayed to God, and God miraculously healed her enough where she could start breathing again. But she said, "While I was in the hospital, I had a lot of time to think." And she said, "As I was sitting there thinking, hey, is this it? Like, am I done? Like, am I going to meet Jesus now?" She said, "I started thinking about what really matters." And she said, "I started reviewing in my mind what had happened in my life." She'd been 73. She had come over from Korea. And so she was still heavily involved. She goes and listens to a Korean pastor. She has a Korean Bible. She's got a lot to do with Korea, though she's lived here for many, many years. But she said, "When I look back at my life," she said, "this is what I find. I did a lot of things. I worked a lot of things. I had put a lot of energy in a lot of things that really won't last." Well, after thinking about that conversation, I thought, man, she figured it out. How often in our lives, is it not true, at least it is in mine, that we end up living our lives for the temporal, and before long, what happens? It's just one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing, which ends up being so unsatisfying for life. Why? Because it's only the things that are done for Christ that will last. Isn't that what the song says? So isn't it amazing when we start thinking about what we do in the course of the day? Can we say it that way? Your actions that you take in the course of the day. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with eating. We're going to have a good time eating here in just a couple hours, all right? Nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with cleaning the house. There's nothing wrong with going to work. I'm not trying to say that. But here's my question. What did you do this past week for eternity's sake? What did you do? I mean, I know that there are some things that we have to do for the temporal sake. I suggest, teenagers, brush your teeth, okay? That's a great thing. I know it's temporal, okay? But it really does help everybody else in the world, all right? Just go ahead and yield yourself to that thing to do, all right? But the truth is, what did we do this past week for the eternal? Well, I find in my life, many times, if I'm not careful, here's what I'll do. I'll end up living a whole entire week of my life, watch this, for the temporal. And what does that do? That gives me no eternal gain at all. It's done. It's over. What has happened, and that's all that's going to ever happen with that. And as a child of God, can I tell you? That's really rough. Why? Because we got one opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what that is? Here and now. See, when we get to heaven, it's a different ballgame. We won't serve Him in this capacity up there. But while we're here on this earth, we can make the choice to choose things of the eternal rather than temporal. But this morning, I'd like to show you why, Esau. And maybe this will help us understand why we do it too. Look what your Bible says in the Bible in verse number 29. Now, the Bible says that Rebecca has two sons, Esau and Jacob. Got to get all the names right, okay? Now, Esau is a man's man. You know what I'm talking about. He's a hunter. He's one of those that he's got his own insulation on him. I mean, he's hairy. He's red. The Bible says that he's just like a man's man. And Jacob is a mama's boy. Now, I know my name is Jacob, okay? But the truth is, he's more of a mama's boy. He liked to stay in. He liked to do the things around the house. And so then we got this diverse family right here that one is a man's man and one is a mama's boy. And the Bible says that the father, Isaac, really loved Esau and the mama really loved Jacob. Well, one day, I'm going to try and get it right, all right? Maybe not enough coffee or something. I don't know what it is. But Esau went out hunting. Now, how many of you out here hunt? How many of you hunt? How many men, ladies? All right, there we go. Got some hunters in the crowd. My son hunts a lot. Matter of fact, he got a prize buck last November and November 13th of last year. And he's a bow hunter. And let me tell you, there's days that you can go hunting and get nothing. How many of you know that feeling? All right. Now, it's not a good day, but it's a day hunting. And so, you know, this is probably what happened here. This is Jake's spiritual imagination a little bit. And so sure enough, here we are. We've come to the place where Esau is out hunting and he doesn't get anything. I mean, we don't know if it was for a day or 2 days or a week or a month. We're not given the time frame. But it had been long enough where he was starting to get really, really hungry. Well, then there was Jacob, mama's boy, who decided that he was going to make one of Esau's favorite dishes. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what your Bible says in verse number 29. Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. You know what that is in the Hebrew? Southwest chili. All right, that's right. You just got to take Hebrew and you'll find that out. And he says, all right, I'm going to make some Southwest chili and I'm going to put all the good spices in it. And boy, it's going to start smelling. How many of you have ever made some chili or made some dish that the aroma just fills the house? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. My wife makes pepperoni beef, and it is awesome. Why? Because I can come in the door. I don't know what she's making, but as soon as I open the door, it smells just like good old Chicago pepperoni beef. And let me tell you, ain't nothing like it. It is awesome. And so I get this in my mind that there Jacob is. He's making that same red pottage, that same Southwest chili. And boy, he's stirring the pot. And let me tell you, it smells divine. I mean, especially when you're starving, when you have not eaten in a long time. He is hungry. And let me tell you, it's getting to him. I could just picture the scent billowing up towards his tree stand. And all of a sudden, that scent grabs a hold of him. And it almost draws him right to the place where that Southwest chili is being cooked. Look what your Bible says in verse 30. For I, this would be Esau, am faint. Therefore was his name called Eden. Let me give you the first reason why I find many times we choose the temporal over the eternal. Because number one, Esau was only concerned about his current condition. Esau was only concerned about his current condition. Class, what was his current condition? He was what? Hungry. Wasn't he? He was hungry. And because of this hunger, guess what? He was like, I tell you what, I'm starving. And many times when you and I are only concerned about our current condition, watch what happens. We end up choosing the temporal rather than the eternal. You say, what? I find this class, when our physical appetite is greater than our spiritual appetite, we often choose the temporal. See what he's talking about. Do you realize when our physical appetite for sports is greater than our spiritual appetite for worship, you know what happens? We don't come to church. You say, oh, preacher, you're not going to get on the sports thing. Hey, can I tell you, I love sports. Matter of fact, I was just telling Pastor, we're Ohio State fans. Now, you may boo, you may hiss, you may throw stuff at us, okay? But that's what we are. And so I was telling Pastor how that last night, it was rough, okay? We should have done much better, but the defense held it together, and we were able to pull one up. I don't have a problem with people liking sports, all right? I like sports. I'm going for the Atlanta Braves, all right? I'm a Cubs fan. So, you know, it's been a little while. You just kind of go with those underdogs a little bit, all right? But the truth is, listen, there's got to be a point where we say, okay, I can't let this become a god. And so often, many times in our lives, we choose the temporal because our physical appetite is greater than our spiritual life. You realize when our physical appetite for entertainment is greater than our spiritual appetite for prayer, watch what happens. We don't show up Wednesday night. When our physical appetite for things, materialism, is greater than our spiritual appetite for giving, you know what happens? The mission budget goes down. Why? Because, hey, I'm more concerned about this, the physical, I'm physically attached, I'm more concerned about that physical thing than the spiritual thing. And what happens is so often in our lives, we are only concerned about our current condition. And so what happens? We end up choosing the temporal than the eternal. That's what we find here on the pages of the Scripture. Jacob's making this bowl, this tub, this kettle of Southwest chili. He's stirring it up. And all of a sudden, the fumes come and where Esau is, and he can smell it. And he's like, oh man, I'm telling you what, I'm starving. Marvin, man, I'm telling you what, I'm dying here. I need something to eat. And the Bible says that he came to Jacob and he says, you know what, I'm faint. Give me that pot of Southwest chili. But notice the second reason. Look what your Bible says. Would you go on with me? Look at verse number 30 and 31. The Bible says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? So number one, the first reason why Esau chose the temporal rather than the eternal is number one, because he was only concerned about his current condition. But number two, he had an unrealistic future. He had an unrealistic future. Did you hear the conversation? Jacob, by the way, his name means deceiver, says to his brother, I believe this was all planned. Hey, brother. How you doing, brother? Hey, brother, does it smell good? I can almost see him stirring the pot. The brother comes in and says, brother, man, what you got cooking? Oh, brother, that's that Southwest chili you love. Oh, man, Jacob. That smells awesome. Man, I'm telling you what, Jacob. Could you give me some of that Southwest chili? And Jacob, all of a sudden, the evil horns come up. How many of you got an evil sibling that would do this to you? Raise your hand. Yes. Okay. Some of you are that evil sibling, all right? The little horns come up and all of a sudden he's like, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, that's a huge thing. But here's what's interesting. Esau's response. He says in verse number 32, look, he says, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. Now, how many of you in this room think that Esau really is at the point of death? Raise your hand. How many of you really think he's at the point of death? How many of you ever had a kid that said this? Man, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. How many of you have ever heard someone say something like that? Hey, have you ever tried pulling out of the freezer a horse? Now get it. We know what they're saying. But isn't it true that sometimes, watch, in our lives we make decisions for the temporal because we have an unrealistic future. Esau says to Jacob, man, brother, that smells so awesome. I tell you what, I'm starving. Matter of fact, Jacob, I'm at the point to die. And I love how Esau cleans up his statement. He says, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? You see, he's convinced himself that he is so far removed from reality that he's got no hope except for that pot of Southwest chili. Now think about that. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Why? Because that pot of Southwest chili, get it, isn't going to be his savior. You say, how do you know that? I've seen some teenagers eat. Amen? You just fed them a full course meal. 20 minutes later, hey, what are we having for dinner? What? We just ate. How much can you put away? I mean, honestly. What do you think? We just live to buy groceries? Come on. Give us a little room here. All right? At least wait 2 hours before asking. I get that. Here we got Esau. And he's convinced himself, watch this, if he takes another step, he's going to die. And he says, what profit shall this birthright do to me? I mean, come on, if I'm dead, it's not going to be helpful at all. So I'm just going to go ahead and give this thing up. Can I tell you, many of us have made decisions for the temporal, because we've had an unrealistic future in our minds. Yeah, I'm very concerned about the use of the smartphone in our lives. You say, what are you talking about? I have one. I'm not anti it. Okay? But did you realize there's something going on with them? You Google, how often do people look at their phones through the course of the day? Do you want to know how often people are picking this thing up and checking in? Or should I say it the way I say, checking out? You'll find studies that will tell you anywhere from 5.5 minutes. Every 5.5 minutes we're picking up our phones to checking out. To 10 minutes. You say, which one's right? I don't know. I just Googled it, okay? But that's way too many times in a day. Because if you pick up your phone every 5.5 minutes, do you realize that's 263 times a day you're looking at your phone? You know why studies have showed us that people do this? Get it? Because people can't handle dealing with the reality of life. And it gives them an opportunity to check out. Well, I'm going to just check my TikTok because, you know what, this is what's really happening. And I can avoid dealing with reality of what's really happening. Oh, I'm going to check the gram and I'm just going to see what's going on there because, you know what, there's got to be much better things going on than what's going in my life. Oh, I'm just going to check Facebook. That's for all you old people, okay? I'm going to just check Facebook and I'm going to scroll through Facebook because, you know what, I'm going to see what's going on because I don't want to deal with my life. And listen, but there's a problem with that. Because when we live in an unrealistic world, here's what happens. We make decisions for the temporal all the time. Why? The unrealistic world is the world on social media. Hello? The unrealistic world is the world that there's no problems. That's what you find on social media. It's that couple that never has an issue. They look picture perfect. They never have rebellious children. They never have health issues. They're always going on vacation. They're always making loads of money. They're always driving the nicest car. They always get the nicest clothes. And so what do? Hey, I want to be like them. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make choices like they made so that I can be like them. Whoa! Back off! Hit the brakes! Pump them! Don't you understand? This is not reality. Look, and what we do is we end up choosing the temporal rather than the eternal simply because we've got an unrealistic future. We're scrolling through the world of unreal, lack of reality. I don't know what you say that, okay? But we're scrolling through this thinking, oh, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And before long, we're going to start making decisions to make that happen. And now we're living in this unrealistic future. That's exactly where Esau is. He says to Jacob, Jacob, I am at the point of death. And because I'm at the point of death, what profit is this thing going to do for me? How often we fall and pray to that. I have people that we've met through the years that they have their kids. And they'll tell me, oh, Brother Jake, I'd be here this week, but you don't understand, Junior here, he's the next greatest fill in the blank. He is the next Tom Brady. He is the next Nolan Ryan for all you old timers, okay? He is the next, and they fill in LeBron James. He is the next, and they always fill in somebody that is like a superstar, right? And so they put all of their eggs in this basket that their son, their daughter, is going to be the next GOAT. Okay? That's what they do. But then all of a sudden, guess what happens? One injury. All it takes. One ACL. One shoulder. One knee. One concussion. And it's over. And watch. Those decisions for the temporal pile up. You say, what are you talking about? Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, can I tell you, in order for your kids not to choose the temporal and choose the eternal, they have to see it in you. Because doesn't the world say, choose the temporal? Hey, what makes you happy, that's all that matters right now. So if doing meth makes you happy, then do it, kids. Because it makes you happy right now. I mean, if we're going to take the world's philosophies and humanism, then we got to take it all. And what happens is if kids never see moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas choosing the eternal rather than the temporary, hey, can I tell you, don't think that they're going to make different decisions. They're following suit. But if they see moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas making decisions instead of for the temporal, but the eternal, why? Because they don't live in this unrealistic future. They aren't only concerned about their current condition. Then what happens is they start developing a pattern of understanding, oh, this is how we do those things. This is what Paul says in Colossians. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections, set your desires, set your will on things above, not on this earth. Does that mean you can't have a camper? Does that mean that you can't have a truck? Does that mean you can't play sports? No, it doesn't mean that. Here's what it means. But that's not your ultimate goal. You say, well, that's a fine line. I know. Welcome to the Christian life. It's called balance. And the sooner you learn that, the better off you're going to be. And here we see that Esau wasn't balanced. But let me give you number three. Look what the third reason why. Look what your Bible says in verse number 33. It says, and Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So we've got number one reason why Esau chose the temperance, because he was only concerned about his current condition. He's faint. He's hungry. Number two, he had an unrealistic future. But number three, get this, number three, he had forgotten the precious promises of the past. Now, I think I got a set of twins right here, right? Okay, what's your name?
Jared.
And?
Jordan.
All right, Jared and Jordan. That's easy, all right? So we got Jared and Jordan. Little did you know, that Jared and Jordan's last name is Gates, okay? Because they're related to Bill Gates, okay? Now, Jared and Jordan, you guys just are well-to-do now, all right? But what people don't understand is the birthright. What is the birthright? What's so significant about the birthright, all right? Well, the birthright was given to the firstborn male, and it was valued at 90% of their dad or their family's net worth. Now, how many of you know how much Bill Gates is worth? Anyone know how much Bill Gates is worth here? Just guess. I looked it up this morning because I just wanted to make sure that I was accurate. All right. How much Bill Gates is worth? All right. For you that don't know, here it is. $131 billion. All right. Did you get that? $131 billion. All right. So let's put that all together. If Bill Gates' son, Jared, if Bill Gates dies, the birthright goes to Jared. Okay. We're going to call you the firstborn. All right. And he would get, now watch this, he would get 90% of that. Okay, now, just, I'm gonna do the math for you so you don't have to figure it out. That's $118 million, okay? $118 million. Now, Jared, have you ever spent $118 million? Okay? So, Jared's net worth, because his daddy is Bill Gates, is $118 million. Now, I wanna clarify this, okay? That's a lot of money, alright? If you don't realize it, that's a load of money, okay? Jared can't spend that. Matter of fact, that was the idea of the birthright. It was supposed to be given so the seed never died, okay? Abraham was a well-to-do man. Isaac was a well-to-do man. Now Esau was supposed to carry that over, and his seed was supposed to last. Well, Jared's brother Jordan decides he's going to make one of Jared's favorite meals, Southwest chili. And so he was making up a bowl, a kettle of Southwest chili. Jordan is. And so sure enough, all of a sudden, old Jordan boy, he smells it and he's like, whoa, man, that smells good. And so he comes over and he sees that Jared's stirring up the fumes of the wonderful scent of that Southwest chili. And Jared says, hey, I want to bowl that. And Jared says, no problem. No problem. Give me the birthright. $118 million. Now, who in this room, besides Jordan, thinks that's a good deal? Raise your hand. You. Okay. One bowl of Southwest chili. Are you friends with him or something? You think you're going to get like a little cut from it or what? There's nobody here that thinks a good deal. I mean, Jordan does. But every one of you in this room would say, oh, Jordan, whatever you do, do not give up $118 million for one bowl, for one cup, for one kettle. It's not worth... You know how many kettles you can make with $118 million of Southwest chili? You can have a tanker every day bring you Southwest chili. It doesn't make a lick of sense. But you know, from God's point of view, every time you choose the temporal over the eternal, He says, it doesn't make a lick of sense. Why in the world would you give up these eternal riches for the temporal gain of this world? Oh, let me tell you, it's convicting, isn't it? Can I tell you why? We've forgotten the precious promises of the past. See, one day we're going to stand before God, aren't we? We're not going to stand before God, if you're a child of God, for our sins. Why? Because that was paid on the cross of Calvary. Amen? But you know what you're going to stand before God for? Your service. Hey, why did you choose the temporal when you could have had $118 million of eternal gain? Why would you do that? And you're going to have to come up with a good one. Are you going to tell God like Esau, well, I was hungry? Really? You're going to tell God that? And you think that's going to justify it? See, listen, it doesn't make any sense. You see, preacher, it's hard. I know, but that's exactly where faith kicks in, isn't it? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what class? Not seen. I don't get how we're going to be able to make it. We've got to have these temporal things, because if we don't have these things, I don't see it. Hey, can I tell you? That's where the faith has got to kick in. You know, Esau could have said, you know what? I'm not going to starve to death. But what he said is, oh, I'm at the point to die. And what profit is $118 million going to do for me if I'm dead? Now, anyone in this room as an adult think that's good thinking? No. There's not a financial advisor in the world that would tell you to do that. Unless he hated you. Come on! But that's exactly what we do in our everyday life. I fall prey to it. You fall prey to it. Why? Because we forget the precious promises that we find in this book. In Italy, there's a cathedral that has three arches. Three arches. The one on the left says, the things that are pleased are temporal. The one on the right says things that displease are temporal. But the one in the center says this: the eternal things are the only important things. And can I tell you? It's true. It's only those things that are done for Christ that will last.